Daily for Weekend Eve. It's here already. It fits you like a warm skin suit. Hi, we're the wonderful folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You might know us from Facebook and Twitter and all those places. Did I mention it's the 22nd of June? Because I really meant to. And if I didn't, gosh, I'm sorry. What can I ever do to repay you? The folks bringing it to you today, well, the man who sets himself some boundaries, it's podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
This is like my office as well as my home. Plus, the lion comes in a couple days.
Good to have plans. Hey, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
That's just so incredibly wonderful. I just don't even know what to say.
You could say hello and hi, and sure, I'll send you that private picture. What happened this fine day, yep?
In 1633, Italian astronomer Galileo Galilei...
Galileo.
...by the Inquisition to abjure, curse, and detest his heliocentric theories that the sun, rather than the earth, is the center of the universe. He is also condemned to formal prison of the Holy Office for an indeterminate period served at the pleasure of the Inquisition's judges. You never expect them. In order to recite these seven penitential psalms once a week, every week, for 3 years, thank God we have a separation between church and state here in the United States.
For the moment. 1675, the Royal Greenwich Observatory is created by royal warrant in England by Charles II. Construction begins later this year, and the primary use will be practical astronomy, navigation, timekeeping, and mapping the stars.
1799, a scientific congress in France defined the length of a meter as 1/10,000,000th of the distance of the Earth from the equator to the North Pole in a curved line of latitude passing through Paris. I feel bad for the guy who had to use a tape measure and walk that.
1946, mail is transported via jet airplane for the first time in history.
1972, the Supreme Court of the United States rules in the case of Lloyd v. Tanner that the First Amendment does not give citizens the right to express themselves freely on private property, though the case concerns a private citizen's right to distribute handbills in a mail. The ruling will have a significant and long-reaching impact on matters involving communication via the internet. When reached for a comment, Tanner said, "You got it, dude."
1973, the first crew of the Skylab splashed down safely after a record 28 days in space. Skylab was the first space station that the U.S. launched into orbit.
1978, evidence of the first moon of Pluto was discovered by astronomer James W. Christie of the Naval Observatory in Flagstaff, Arizona, when he obtains a photograph of Pluto that shows the orb to be distinctly elongated. Furthermore, the elongations appear to change position with the sun.
1996, which means today is the 21st anniversary of GT Interactive releasing Quake, your first-person shooter for personal computers.
Wow, so get a copy and play drunk, since it can drink as well. 1999, the first report of the brain signals of a live rat directly controlling a robotic arm is published by the journal Nature of Neuroscience, making for a much more boring version of Cameron's Terminator franchise.
2001, Midway Games Incorporated announces it will no longer manufacture and distribute coin-operated video games due to, quote, declining demand, and a little part of the 80s died forever.
2006, United States Vice President Dick Cheney refers to himself as the Darth Vader of the Bush administration, sparking a chain of humorous reactions across the internet.
Darth Penguin? Okay. 2007, the NASA Space Shuttle Atlantis returns safely to Earth with its seven crew members, ending a successful two-week mission to deliver an addition to the International Space Station, because we stopped making space stations after Skylab.
And in 2009, Eastman Kodak Company announces that it will discontinue its iconic Kodachrome 64 color film after 74 years.
Eastman, don't take my Kodachrome from me. Birthdays?
Portia Doubleday, 29 years old. Angela on Mr. Robot and her.
Donald Faison is 43 from Clueless, Scrubs, Kick-Ass, Do.
Dan Brown, 53. He wrote the Robert Langdon novels.
Some of which are actually interesting. Stephen Chow is 55, directed Shaolin Soccer and Kung Fu Hustle, which are both live-action cartoons of the highest quality.
They're damn delights. Tracy Pollan, 57, Family Ties. Wow, it's a Family Ties week this week. And Bright Lights, Big City.
Bruce Campbell is 59 years old. The Chin himself, Evil Dead, Jack of All Trades, Burn Notice, the Raimi Spider-Man flicks, so many things. Maniac Cop, even, if you want to go there.
I think just about everything that Sam Raimi has done, Bruce Campbell has showed up, and he's written two books. Check them out. And YouTube his Old Spice commercials. Also, a damn delight.
That was beautiful. Never forget, in Darkman, he is officially...
The final Shemp.
The final Shemp.
Yep. We salute you, sir. Tim Russ, 61, was Tuvok on Voyage, Live Free or Die Hard, and Samantha Who.
Meryl Streep is 68 from Silkwood, Death Becomes Her, and The Fantastic Mr. Fox.
I also understand one of President 44's favorite actresses. Also, Steve Easton, 69 years old, from Elm Street 2 and The Hidden.
Michael Lerner is 76 from Barton Fink, Omen 4, and Sydney on Glee.
Prunella Scales, 85 years old, Sybil on Fawlty Towers.
I'm doing it, dear. How can I do it if you keep calling me, dear? No longer with us, born this date in 1903, John Dillinger, an American bank robber, and damn good at it.
1906, Billy Wilder wrote and directed Double Indemnity, Sunset Boulevard, and Some Like It Hot.
1928, Ralph Waite from Magnificent Seven Ride, Pa on The Waltons, and oddly enough, NCIS.
And in 1954, Freddie Prinze. That is Freddie Prinze Sr., an amazing and influential stand-up comedian. He was also in Chico and the Man, Gone Far Too Soon, and of course, the father of Freddie Prinze Jr.
Well, one out of two ain't bad.
On television today, we've got on CBS a rerun of Big Bang Theory, Superior Donuts, Mom, Life in Pieces, and MacGyver.
Tonight on ABC, it's the moment you've been all waiting for. New episodes of Boy Band, in which America picks a new boy band, and The Gong Show is back.
I gotta watch that Gong Show. The host is amazing. On NBC, we've got a new Hollywood Game Night, The Wall, and The Night Shift.
Which is not the Murray Langstrom movie. On Fox, it's a new Beat Shazam, followed by Love Connection.
On the CW, we've got to rerun two episodes of the super ghost-busting Hanson Brothers Power Hour known as Supernatural.
Freeform will be showing Mean Girls, and make your own, you know, quote from it, because it's awesome.
On AMC, they've got Rambo and Rambo First Blood and First Blood Part 2.
No.
Rambo and
they're showing They're showing the 2008 Rambo, then First Blood, then First Blood 2. It's weird. It doesn't make any sense at all. Country Music Television has a new Nashville, though, which makes total sense.
Comedy Central has the new The President Show.
FX Interstellar.
On FXM, they've got the 2011 Footloose. How did I forget that they... I don't need...
Because your brain was doing me a favor. FXX The Simpsons, the miniature golf episode, the Leftorium, the one where Marge lift weights, which means she's the man.
The other one's on there, who cares? BBC America has a Knight's Tale.
Someone had to. Spike TV for Guys premiering The Mist. I love the book. I liked most of the movie. We'll see how the TV show does.
Sci-Fi has a very confusing sequel to Top Gun called The Need for Speed.
I don't understand what that's doing on there at all. It's so weird. Turner Classic Movies is showing Billy Liar, and I'm going to sue them for defamation.
True TV has two new episodes of Impractical Jokers and Comedy Knockout.
But we're watching the Chiller Network because a plane full of teens with a rookie pilot battles against a supernatural force. Jessica Lowndes and Juliana Gull star in Altitude.
Do you mind? I want to check my email.
Not at all. Good morning, geeky people. I, for one, believe that any news regarding Atari putting a new console out is merely guerrilla marketing done in conjunction with the Blade Runner sequel. Either that or the geniuses at Atari really don't understand the whole Blade Runner curse name. That is from Mad Sci. That's a better explanation than what anybody else has, so I'm not going to rule it out. It does. It's so weird. I don't understand what the hell. You can't have a fourth console. You just can't do it. Just ask Sega. If you'd like to figure out the mystery behind the Atari thing or anything else, drop a note, which please, it's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. We'd love to hear from you. And, you know, if we don't, we'll just start making things up and saying you said them. Prove us wrong. Prove us wrong.
To Destiny comes a new podcast. Three guardians who will guide you to glory, honor, and... Yeah, nah, not that kind of podcast. This is Happy Hour from the Tower. I'm T.
I'm Nick.
I'm Brandon.
And we're going to talk about all things Destiny. Why we play.
Why we love punching aliens in the face.
And why my dad sucks at the Crucible.
Here we go.
A podcast for players of all levels. Find Happy Hour from the Tower on iTunes, Stitcher, or at happyhourfromthetower.com. Eyes up, Guardian. Time to give up the ghost. It's Happy Hour from the Tower. First round's on us.
Hi, this is Walter Koenig, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are. And your weekend eve edition can only mean, well, seven or eight things, but this is the important one.
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada. Get ready. Prepare for blast off.
Video games develop hand-eye coordination and make kids into better human beings.
You shotten herring!
You are a scurvy louse.
You are a slop bucket. You are a pus sludge.
Why do you have to read that in here? I'm trying to play a game.
One thing I know is that my allies and I had just obliterated the largest horde of rabid zombies I'd ever encountered, and then suddenly, Chief Wiggum 49 and Halo is my bitch 12 decided to frag me.
It'll happen. It'll probably happen again today with all your wonderful choices. What can we play today, yo?
Phantasy Star 2. It's a 16-bit sci-fi RPG originally released on the Sega Genesis / Mega Drive in 1989. It's now available on the Android.
We didn't have a lot of really awesome RPGs back then. That was pretty damn good. Altered Beast, Rise from Your Grave, the side-scrolling brawler that puts you in control of a resurrected centurion who possesses the ability to shapeshift into many beasts, hence the Altered, a wolf, a dragon, a tiger, and a bear. Yeah, watch out for Bear Puncher, though. Altered Beast was the original pack-in game for the Genesis in North America. You can play it on the Android. I don't know how well that's going
to
work.
Man, I can't wait for that to come out to the iOS. I love that damn game. We've also got Ever Oasis, an action RPG developed by Grezzo and published by Nintendo for Nintendo 3DS. It is the first game directed by Mana series creator and Final Fantasy veteran Kyoichi Ishii since Dawn of Mana in 2006. That is available on the 3DS and eShop.
RPG Maker Fez, not Fez, it's different. A portable entry into the RPG Maker series that allows users to create their own games as well as share via a free app on the eShop for the 3DS.
Highly recommend the RPG Maker series, whether for the mobile device or for the computer. It is a fantastic way to be able to learn coding and how gameplay and stuff works. It's a great series. A lot of free tools available online. And finally, we've got Valkyrie Revolution, a separate story within the Valkyrie Chronicles franchise that follows a unit of Jutland as they attempt to gain freedom from the colonial rule of the Rusian Empire. That, of course, is available on the Xbox One.
So get out there and play yourself something, yo.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. In case you haven't heard, directors Phil Lord and Chris Miller have stepped down or were fired as directors of the Han Solo film. We've seen directors depart projects all the time, but this is weird because they've got just a couple of weeks of shooting left. Okay. The skinny is, sources say the style and vision of Lord and Miller clashed with Lawrence Kasdan, the legendary screenwriter behind Empire Strikes Back and Raiders of the Lost Ark. Basically, these guys do comedy. They're big into improv. Lawrence Kasdan wants you to stick to the script. Do not deviate from the script. And apparently, since day one, there's been issues. There was a difference in the understanding of the actual character of Han Solo. They wanted him to be a wisecracking, funny Han Solo. Lawrence Kasdan wants him to be more sarcastic and selfish, you know, like he should be, the way we met him. They're going to have to find themselves a replacement. Joe Johnston's up for the job, Lawrence Kasdan, and Ron Howard is the favorite. Lucasfilm released a statement about the situation saying,
"Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?"
I would much rather see Joe Johnston than Opie directing the new Han Solo
movie. Thank
you.
Yes, indeed.
Watchmen, written by Alan Moore with art by Dave Gibbons, is considered one of the greatest graphic novels of all time.
Yep.
Watchmen appeared on Time's 2005 list of all-time 100 greatest novels, as well as Publications' 2009 top 10 graphic novels. So you can see there, if you missed that subtle hint there, it crossed over into what the snooty folks call real literature. The legacy of Watchmen has been felt in other forms of media as well, with DC launching the Before Watchmen prequel series not too many years ago, a motion comic adaptation released in 2009, an R-rated animated film that Warner Brothers announced this April, and of course the live-action feature film directed by Zack Snyder of 300 and Batman V Superman Dawn of Justice fame. Now it appears another Watchmen adaptation is in the works, and it just may be the best venue for the project yet, aside from the masterful original comics, of course. Variety reports that Damon Lindelof, creator of Lost and HBO's The Leftovers, is in talks to develop Watchmen as an HBO series. HBO attempted to adapt Watchmen back in 2014, but Lindelof's version is said to be brand new and will start from scratch, not using anything previously developed by HBO. And scratch, we mean still referencing the source material. Now, me personally, I enjoyed Snyder's version for the most part. My only major issue was the use of the wrong version of Hallelujah. That love scene should not have made everybody laugh like it did. And that Doc Manhattan's Wang was better animated than his mouth. But that's a technical limitation in theory, not a redirection of assets. But I also enjoyed the director's cut and still felt it was far too condensed. Let's face it, prestige TV can be as good as the best movie out there. Doing each issue as an episode would allow the story to breathe, and with HBO behind this new version of Watchmen, we know budget and graphic content will not be an issue. So as long as we're not adding storylines or using Before Watchmen to support multiple seasons, it should be fine. But does this mean Warner Brothers' animated project is on hold? Are the two related? Or is the studio just going full Dr. Manhattan on us and producing both? No matter what, Game of Thrones is now challenged for the most gratuitous wiener shots on the small screen. Well-endowed screen.
The team behind the successful Sherlock series, you know, four seasons spread over 7 years, have shelved future development to pursue other opportunities, making us wait even longer. Sherlock creators Mark Gatiss and Steve Moffat are now collaborating on an adaptation of Bram Stoker's Dracula for the BBC. Interesting. There's been many versions of Dracula over the past few years. We've had the Dracula 2000. Gerard Butler would love for us to forget. Dracula Untold, the NBC Dracula TV series made by the folks who did Downton Abbey. And, of course, Universal's rebooting the character for the Dark Universe if Tom Cruise did not completely kill that. Vampires just in pop culture have not gone away, but Dracula, I mean, we kind of all know the story, so who the hell knows? Fortunately, in addition to Sherlock, Gatiss and Moffat have spent a lot of time in genre television. They worked in Game of Thrones and Doctor Who, respectively. Gatiss also apparently has a deep affection for Dracula, particularly the classic 58 version with Christopher Lee and the non-CGI Peter Cushing. If anyone is going to produce a version of Dracula that engages audiences and catches fire, you could do far worse than Gatiss and Moffat. So hopefully, it won't suck.
I see what you did there. Vampire and the suck. The Hanson Brothers Ghostbusting Power Hour, known as Supernatural, already feels like it's going to keep running well beyond the fall of human civilization and perhaps even the universe itself. But now the Winchester's world is about to get a little bit bigger in the form of a new spinoff show currently being planned around Kim Rhodes' recurring character on the series. The 13th season of the show, which, among other things, will feature an entirely animated episode of the series, crossing over with Scooby-Doo, not that little jerk Scrappy, but will also feature a backdoor pilot, giggity, for a potential spinoff in the form of Wayward Sisters. The episode in the series itself will follow Rhodes' character, Sheriff Jody Mills, as she takes a group of young women in her care and teaches them to be monster hunters in the vein of the Winchester brothers. Although Rhodes' character is currently the only one attached to the new series so far, there are reports that there are plans to bring over other characters from Supernatural to Wayward Sisters, including Claire Novak and Alex Jones, who, alongside Mills, have been the subject of previous fan campaigns to give the characters their own spinoff under the banner Wayward Daughters, hence the nod to the fans in the title of the new series. This isn't the first time Supernatural has planned to introduce a spinoff series. Season 9 featured an episode that intended to launch a Chicago-based spinoff about rival monster hunter gangs called Bloodlines, but the series was never picked up. The same fate may befall Wayward Sisters yet, but for now, there's a chance there's going to be even more monster hunting coming to the CW. So cross your fingers for the spirit-bashing, tough chick hour of power known as Wayward Sisters. I'm still waiting for the Ghostfacers spinoff. They face the ghosts when others will not. We'd probably already have it if it wasn't for those damn Winchester douche nozzles.
Lyft is testing out a new service called Lyft Shuttle, a bold new concept that will take some time for me to explain to you. Lyft Shuttle runs at a lower cost than its usual, it's not really a taxi app, but runs on a preset route, picking up at preset stops. Now, there is a slight possibility you could be familiar with this concept, because in parts of the world that are not Silicon Valley, we call it a bus. Lyft can add up fast, and Lyft Line, while less expensive, can take you out of your way and make you travel much longer. But Lyft Shuttle addresses both of those issues by having you walk to a nearby pickup spot, get in a shared car that follows a pre-designated route, and drops you and everybody else off at the same stop. You know, like a bus. So basically, you share a ride with other people most of the time, and your price is lower for the ride. And you know exactly how long the ride will take because you're on a pre-designated route. Now, your drawback, the shuttle service is only available during commute hours, and you're only picked up and dropped off in certain spots. If and when Lyft Shuttle comes to your city, this is a convenient and more affordable alternative. And again, most of the world calls this a bus. If you're interested in the service and not in the San Francisco area, watch their website for expansion announcements. And if you're not sure you would enjoy the Lyft Shuttle, may we suggest you try riding a bus and see how that goes. GRD is licensed with Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, United States 3.0 license. I cannot wait to see the Silicon Valley Hooli Bus episode. That's going to be flipping amazing. Come check us out on Facebook and Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Sing, dance, do the instant jig. Get yourself the app. Go watch the cartoon on YouTube. Subscribe to the Geek Radio Daily channel. I'm sure at some point we'll reach that magic number. I mean, hell, You know, it's only taken us 10 years to not get 500 likes on Facebook. We'll get this any moment now. Drop a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com, and we will see you when we do.
Right now, I wish I could crawl in a hole and pull it in after me.
This is developing into a very bad habit.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Piss off.
Peace out, player.
Scat. Skedaddle. Adios. Arrivederci. Ciao. Bug off.
In a bus down the boulevard, and the people pretty packed. Yeah. But a seesaw had to stand with the perverts in the back. It was smelling like a locker room. There was junk all over the floor. We're already packed in like sardines, but we're stopping to pick up more. Look out! Another one rides the bus. Another one rides the bus. And another comes on, and another comes on. Another one rides the bus. Hey, he's gonna sit by you. Another one rides the bus. There's a suitcase poking me in the ribs. There's an elbow in my ear. There's a smelly old bum standing next to me. He hasn't showered in a year. Well, I think I'm missing a contact lens. I think my wallet's gone. And I think this bus is stopping again. Let a couple more freaks get on. Look out! Another one rides the bus. Another one rides the bus. And another comes on. And another comes on. Another one rides the bus. Hey, he's gonna sit by you. Another one rides the bus.